What we're going to talk about this morning is the part in the creed where we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And when Paul asked me if I would take this Sunday and preach on I believe in the Holy Spirit, I thought, oh my goodness. How do you preach on the Holy Spirit in 30 minutes? I don't know. You know, because we could take a whole year of Sundays and preach on the Holy Spirit and we wouldn't be finished yet. But what I decided is I'm just going to preach, I believe in the Holy Spirit and why I believe in the Holy Spirit, because that's what this is about, right? We're talking about the creed and being able to say what we believe. And I believe in the Holy Spirit. Why do I believe in the Holy Spirit? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. So let's pray. Father, we just praise you and we thank you for your word that teaches us so much, which you have given to us to reveal yourself to us. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who you have sent to dwell in us and to be our teacher. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would be present and that you would open our eyes, that you would teach us all that you want us to know, so that we can live for your glory, so that we can love you more. Lord, we just pray that your will would be done this morning and your word would be preached. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Why do I believe in the Holy Spirit? Well, one reason I believe in the Holy Spirit is because the Old Testament scripture teaches me that the Holy Spirit is God. If you go to the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, what you see there in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, in the beginning, God. And I'll give you a little lesson there. We're studying in Sunday school on the names of God. When you see God in the Bible, G-O-D, most of the time it is translated from the Hebrew Elohim, El meaning God, and Him being a plural ending. So that could literally read, in the beginning, God's created the heavens and the earth. But it's talking about the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because what you see there is the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. How many of you did not know or did know that the Holy Spirit was in the very first chapter of the Bible? He's there. And then Genesis 1:26 says, then God, or Elohim, the plural name for God, said, let us make man in our image. Our is plural. So you see, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all involved in creation. Let us make man, and let us make man in our image. So I believe in the Holy Spirit because the scripture teaches me that. It says also that in the scripture, the new birth is described by God as His Spirit coming into our hearts. Let me read for you from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. This is what God says. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. I read that portion of scripture to you. And even though it doesn't mention the Holy Spirit, I read that to you so that I can show you in Ezekiel that it does mention the Holy Spirit, but it's talking about the exact same new birth, new heart that God is going to give, the new covenant. So let's look at Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. It says, "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances." In Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 14, God says, "I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life." Remember how the New Testament talks often about going from death to life in the new birth? "You will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord." So the new birth is described in the Old Testament as when God's Holy Spirit comes to live in us, and we are born again, is what Jesus told Nicodemus. And we also see the Holy Spirit several times in the Old Testament anointing certain people for certain tasks for certain periods of time. And just real quickly, I've pulled out three scriptures that refer to that kind of situation, even though there are numerous times in the Old Testament when the Holy Spirit anointed certain people. In Exodus 31:3, when they're building the tabernacle, God says to Moses, "I have called by name Bezalel, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all kinds of craftsmanship. So God is telling Moses, "I've got this guy, and I've put my spirit within him, and he is an artist because my spirit is in him, and he's the one that's going to be able to build this tabernacle the way that I've told you to build it." And then in Numbers 21, verse 2, Balaam, we all know Balaam because we know the story about the donkey speaking to him, but it says, "And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel camping tribe by tribe, and the Spirit of God came upon him." In 1 Samuel 19:20, another instance of the Holy Spirit of God coming upon people, it says, "Then Saul sent messengers to take David, but when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, with Samuel standing and presiding over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied." So those are three reasons that we see that the Old Testament scripture teaches on the Holy Spirit. And so that's one reason why we believe in the Holy Spirit, why we can say, "I believe in the Holy Spirit," because the Old Testament teaches us that the Holy Spirit is God. A second reason that we believe in the Holy Spirit is because Jesus told us about the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, it says, "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water.' But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." And y'all hear that rain? That's what we're praying, that the Holy Spirit will rain down on us this morning, okay? Holy Spirit, come. Then later in John, Jesus spoke to the disciples specifically about the Holy Spirit and who he was and what role he would play in their lives. We see this in John chapters 14, 15, and 16. Jesus has a lot to say about the Holy Spirit right before he's going to go to the cross. He's getting his disciples ready for the one that is to come. And in John 14, verses 16 and 17, he says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever, that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you." Jesus is saying, you know the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is indwelling me and empowering me, and he is with you because I am with you, but one day he's going to be in you. And then in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 14, Jesus goes on to say, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you, and he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you." Did y'all hear over and over again, he, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit, he? We don't ever want to refer to the Holy Spirit as it, because the Holy Spirit, and we do that sometimes, you know, without even thinking about it. I've heard people do that. I've probably done it myself. But the Holy Spirit is God, and he is the third person of the Trinity. So we don't ever refer to him as it, because Jesus referred to him as he. He is a person. He is God. And so Jesus, you know, when Jesus became a man, he laid aside his power. And so when Jesus walked on this earth, he was living by the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that is available to indwell us. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, "Greater things than I've done, you're going to do because I go to the Father." It's because we have access to the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, first of all, would be our helper. And that's a Greek word called paraclete or parakletos, which means one who comes alongside, an intercessor. And so Jesus said that he would be our helper. He said that he would teach us all things, that he would remind us of things that he had said, that he would convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment, that he would lead us into all the truth, that he would disclose what was to come, and that he would glorify Jesus by taking what was his and disclosing it to us. That's one of the things that you learn about the Holy Spirit, is that he does not glorify himself. He glorifies Jesus by taking what is of Jesus and disclosing it to us. He's always pointing us to Jesus. Jesus also told his disciples not to begin ministering until they had received power from on high, until they had received the Holy Spirit. If you remember in the book of Acts, or the Acts of the Apostles, it says in chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, gathering them together, this is Jesus and his disciples, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You heard of from me." He's saying, I've told you about the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait for what the Father has promised. He says, "You heard up from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, "Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." Jesus told them that they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit and they would receive power to be his witnesses, to witness to the fact that Jesus is alive and well. And that is the Christian life that we all should be living. And I'm going to jump ahead in my notes right now and just tell you, if you're not living that life, then Jesus says, ask for the Holy Spirit. Because God wants to give the Holy Spirit to all who ask. And we'll read that scripture at the end. But I just, as I'm standing here thinking and reading that verse, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be my witnesses. I remember in my life that, you know, I grew up in the church, and I had some experiences with the Lord when I was 13. I had an experience with the Lord where I was, we were doing a musical, and we were singing this song at the end. It was like, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. It's the end of the song, and I'm standing on the stage singing, and all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my goodness, he is alive. I mean, you know, one of those times when Jesus just reveals himself to you. Well, I was 13. That lasted about 3 weeks. You know what I'm saying? You know, you don't get in his word, you don't grow, and it just goes. And then I went to college, and that was a mess. I got in a total mess. Y'all might not know this about me, but I was arrested 3 times for DUI in college. And I see y'all's faces out there, oh my gosh. You know, I didn't plan to say this, okay? But I'm just sharing about the Holy Spirit because I want you to know that he's real and that he can give you power in your life. And if you don't have power, you need to seek Jesus for the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, I just, every time I would get in a mess in college, I would, you know, one time in the middle of the night, I had a friend call a preacher, and he met me in a parking lot, and I'm in the parking lot saying the sinner's prayer, and I got saved again, and, you know, it lasted for about 3 weeks. And then I went right back into that lifestyle of partying and having a good time and doing whatever I wanted to do. And then I had an experience where I had just been strung out on who knows what for a week, hadn't even been to sleep. And I'm sitting at the table at Sambo's with my roommate in the middle of the night. And I said, you know what? She said, Sandra, I think you need a psychiatrist. And I said, I don't need a psychiatrist. I need a preacher. And so we called another preacher, and I got saved again, okay? And it lasted for about 3 weeks. And then I came home from college. I graduated by the grace of God, and I met Steve Devane, who just, I mean, in my eyes, he had it all together. Why he wanted to date me, I have no idea. But I did come home, and I thought, I was supposed to get married to a guy. Had the wedding date, the invitations, the dresses. The date was January 8th of 1983, I think it was. Does that make sense? And you know, he came over to my duplex. I lived in Athens, and I said, I can't marry you, because I was seeking God. God was seeking me is what the real thing was, you know, and we were just a mess. And I'd listen to Keith Green, and I would just feel like I had this vice on the back of my neck, which I know now was probably the Holy Spirit. Has the Holy Spirit ever picked you up by the back of your neck? You know, I didn't know, but I just knew I was sick at my stomach, and I said, I can't marry you. And he said, well, I won't believe you till you call your mom. Tell your mom. I said, hand me the phone. And I called my mom, and I said, I can't marry him. And she said, okay, it's okay, no big deal. Took off to Ohio where my brother was living, and then moved back home from Athens. And that's when I met Steve, and he had it all together. And I thought, I need to get closer to him so maybe I can get it all together. You know, that was really my thinking. You know, maybe he'll rub off on me. And I was seeking God because God was always seeking me. You know, the Holy Spirit always goes before you, seeking you, seeking you. And, you know, people say, well, were you saved before then? I have no idea. I have no idea. You know, people want to know, well, were you a Christian when you were living in all this sin? I don't know. It didn't feel like it, you know. But I don't get into all that theology stuff because I just want to know what's real. And I know what's real is that Steve and I got married. That didn't help me be any better. I was still, we'd eat dinner and I'd go out at night and with my friends and I'd smoke cigarettes and I'd drink and then I'd come home to him. And then I'd do that over and over and over again. And finally, I asked a friend, you know, I said, I need help. I need help. I was teaching school. And I would go into school and I'd open my Bible every morning and I'd read, God help me, God help me. I'd read Jeremiah 31 that says, if you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. And I said, God, I am seeking you. I am seeking you. Help me to find you. And so I just kept doing that over and over and over with no obvious fruit, still a mess. And then, you know, in September of that year, I went to my pastor. Y'all have heard me say this before. I know if this is all there is to Christianity, why would anybody die for this? I don't even know, because I certainly couldn't. And he said the best way to grow is to teach. So I started a Sunday school class. Well, if those people that were in my Sunday school class knew what I was doing when I wasn't teaching the Bible, they probably would have had a heart attack, you know. But I was trying. I was seeking God, and he was seeking me. And I went with a friend that said, what you need is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I went and I said, give it to me. Whatever it is, I want it. I need it. Give it to me. And so she took me to her pastor. He prayed for me. We had this wonderful experience, but my life was still a mess. And then December of that year, I mean, this was a couple of months later, Steve went to church. I think we might have been having some kind of revival or something. And I just stayed home. And I said, God, please help me. And I read this tract where this guy had been set free from all the things that I needed to be set free from. And I just read it. And I just got on my face on the floor. I said, God, if you can do this for him, will you not do this for me? And that is the moment in my life when I know that I was baptized, filled, whatever you want to call it, with the Holy Spirit. That was the line right there. I didn't have anything to do with it. Sometimes I think that God said, you know what, I'm going to wait till you know that you had nothing to do with it, because I had done the same thing over and over, asking, begging, pleading. But God changed my life, and he filled me with the Holy Spirit. Have I always walked according to everything that I knew at that point? Does it always feel real to me today? No, absolutely not. There are seasons, there are days, there are times when I think, I don't even know what I believe. Those are feelings, okay? Those are feelings, and we all walk through those times. But you know, because there is a difference when the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And these things that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, what he would do, that he would be your helper. He would walk along beside you. There have been many times in my life when I have been walking, and I'm just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it. Lord, you say that we need to walk by faith. I can't even crawl right now. And I know today that it's because the Holy Spirit has come along beside me and he has helped me to walk through this life. There have been times, more than I like to admit, that I have thought, I don't even know if I believe this. I think I'll just quit. I think I'll walk away and just go live my own life. But the Holy Spirit is walking beside me, helping me to stay faithful. None of that was in my notes. But you know what? I just want you to know, and God wants all of us to know, that there is a power available, and he is the Holy Spirit, and he is real, and we believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Holy Spirit because the Scripture teaches. We believe in the Holy Spirit because Jesus taught us. And we believe in the Holy Spirit because we see the work of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament church in Acts chapter 2. I won't read all of that, but you know that the book of Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles. It should be renamed the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was always moving and working through the apostles to do the will of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see the Holy Spirit when it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God gave the church. It says that the Holy Spirit gives gifts to the body of Christ so that the body of Christ might be edified. Those are the gifts of the Spirit. And then in Romans 8, we see that the Holy Spirit is an intercessor for us when we don't know how to pray. The Holy Spirit prays for us with groans. He intercedes for us with groans that cannot be uttered. And the last reason that I'll mention this morning that we can boldly say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, is because as born again believers, we have experienced the Holy Spirit. In the new birth, everyone who has been born again has experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit. You probably didn't see him or hear him or whatever, but you saw the effects of him coming into your life. I was reading John chapter 3 this week where Jesus is having his conversation with Nicodemus, and he tells him that unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And it made me start thinking about DC Talk. How many of you know who DC Talk is? My children, y'all probably don't know, but my children had this DC Talk CD years ago, and I bet, minimum, I've listened to that thing 1,000 times. And so this song, In My Mind's Eye, came into my mind as I was thinking about this, because it's got this really cool section in it where they sing, Can You Catch the Wind? And then they've got Billy Graham in the background going, Can you see God? Have you ever seen him? I've never seen the wind. I've seen the effects of the wind, but I've never seen the wind. And then they sing, excuse me, Can you see the breeze? And Billy Graham says, there's a mystery to it. And that's it, y'all. There's a mystery to the Holy Spirit and how he works in our lives. And we don't have to understand the mystery. We don't have to know all the answers. We don't have to figure him out. We just have to know that we believe in the Holy Spirit and that we are open to him working in our lives. Some of the effects that we see, that we as born-again believers have experienced of the Holy Spirit, is conviction of sin. How many of you, once you got saved, you had this incredible conviction of sin? I mean, it's like, I mean, it was night and day for me when the Holy Spirit really came into my life to indwell me. It was night and day. Before, I could lie. I mean, I could tell you, I've told so many lies, I don't even know. I've seen so many movies I didn't see. According, you know, my mama thinks I saw them. Because back then they didn't have cell phones with Find My Friend. So I was always going to the movie. I don't think I saw any of those movies. You know? But after the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you can't do that anymore without extreme conviction. And you know how when you go to the mall and somebody gives you too much change back, and before you could say, oh, well, whatever, you know, it's just a blessing. I got a blessing today. You know, after the Holy Spirit, it's like, Sandra, that wasn't right. You need to go back and make that right. I mean, there's a conviction that comes into our lives when the Holy Spirit, even the slightest deception, he taps us on the shoulder and says, no, I don't want anything. I don't want any of that in your life. I mean, we can ignore it. That's called grieving the Holy Spirit. And we can push him to the side, and we can just push him totally to where we don't even, and if we've done that, we need to repent so that he will come back and have full reign in our lives again. We can't talk like we used to. We can't watch on TV what we used to. How many of you sit down to watch a show after you've been filled with the Holy Spirit on TV and you're like, oh, this isn't making me feel good. I don't need to be, you know. It's because the Holy Spirit in you is uncomfortable and he doesn't want that. You know, it amazes me that we entertain ourselves with the things that sent Jesus Christ to the cross. And if we aren't sensitive to that, if the Holy Spirit is not convicting us of those things in our lives, then we need to get on our face and beg God to come back into the temple. You remember when God wrote Ichabod across the temple, the glory has departed. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to come back into the temple and to have full reign. If we have come to a point where we can watch anything, we can listen to anything, we can say anything, and there is no conviction in our lives. Because if the Holy Spirit is present, there will be conviction. Another thing we experience is that the love of God is poured through our hearts, and we have a love for people and the body of Christ that we didn't have before. It's definitely not our love. It's the love of God is poured through our hearts. In Romans 5, it says that the love of God is poured through our hearts. We have power and confidence to testify to the fact that Jesus is alive and real. Now, I'll tell you, I don't have the gift of evangelism. I don't want anybody to be condemned by what I'm saying here, because I'm not one of those that goes out on the street and just witnesses to everybody. I don't think that's what this is talking about. I think what this is talking about is that you have power and confidence. You have received power to be my witness, to tell whoever God puts in your path that you have the opportunity to tell that Jesus Christ is alive and he has changed your life. That's all that we're called to witness to. I mean, some people definitely have a gift of evangelism, and they go around and they share the gospel, and people get saved when they share the gospel. That is a gift, I believe, of the Holy Spirit. And those of us that are introverted, that don't really like to talk to anybody, you know, we can live our lives for years with condemnation because we've been taught that we're supposed to be out there sharing the gospel with every stranger on the street. But what we need to make sure that the Holy Spirit is moving in our lives, that he is alive and well, and that we are staying so connected to the vine that we know that Jesus is alive and he's working in our lives, and we see that and we can testify to it. We are witnesses. You shall receive power to be my witness, the fact that I am alive, that I was raised from the dead. The gifts of the Spirit. We have the ability to do things that we cannot do naturally. And those are different things for different people. The Bible says that there are a variety of gifts, a variety of ministries. And why would we wonder that God would give so many different gifts in so many different ways, and he would use people in so, he would, you know, show himself to people in so many different ways? Because look at all of us in here. When you look around, do any of us look alike? So why would we expect every Christian to behave alike? Or to have the same gift? We are all different, and we have been given the gifts of the Spirit. But we should have, if we have the Holy Spirit, an ability to do something that we cannot naturally do. There's so many things that we could talk about, and I know I can't talk about the Holy Spirit. And I can exhaust you, but I can't exhaust the topic of the Holy Spirit. In 30 minutes, I wouldn't even know how, because there's so much I don't know and I don't understand. But I know that Jesus said in Luke 19, verses 9 through 13, he said, when he was teaching his disciples to pray, he said, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit is the gift of God that he desires to give to every one of us. And he wants us all to be continually filled with the Spirit of God, walking by the Spirit of God, using the gifts that the Spirit of God has given to us. And he says, just ask. Just ask, and I will fill you with the Spirit. One of the things that I've been doing in my own personal life this year as I began to, I was reading in James. I don't know if I was reading there or the Holy Spirit just brought it to my mind, you know, because that's one of the things he does is he reminds you of the things in the scripture. And that verse where it says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Because, you know, as we walk this walk, as we walk in this world, we can stray. We can get away from the presence of God. We can get away from the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I felt like I was in one of those places. So I just began to pray, God, you say, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. And so I'm drawing near to you. I'm drawing near to you. I've been meditating on John chapter 15 for about 2 months now. Just where Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And he who abides in me and my words abide in him, he will bear much fruit. It doesn't say that we have to try to bear fruit. It just says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will bear much fruit. So I just encourage everybody in here, let's just be asking, God, fill me with your spirit. Let's be drawing near to him and believing his promise that as we do that, he will draw near to us. Let's be abiding in him and letting his word abide in us so that whatever we ask, we will receive. He says so that the Father will be glorified, so that we will prove that we are his disciples. And he says so that your joy will be full. And I'm just in an exciting time right now where I'm like, I'm believing, I'm drawing near, God, draw near to me. And I really believe that he is drawing near to me. And he's opening up his word anew and afresh to me. And I just pray that he continues to do that and that I stay in a place where he can continue to do that. Because you know me, I've taught the word for so long. And then I just went through this season where it was like, I mean, y'all ever get like that? Where you know so much and it just becomes old and dry to you. And God wants those waters to be poured out on that thirsty ground. Let's pray. Father, you know what we need. You know our hearts. And you know, God, we need you. And we need you to pour out your Holy Spirit on us, on the dry, thirsty ground. You say that rivers of living water will flow out of our lives. And Lord, we want that living water to flow out of our lives to everyone around us so that they can see that Jesus, you are alive, that you are real. There are so many people in our lives that are hurting, that need a touch from you. So Lord, make us what we need to be, vessels that are filled, temples that are filled with the Holy Spirit, that are pure and holy, fit for your service. Lord, we just surrender all to you and ask you to fill us the way that only you can. Because Lord, there's nothing we can do. We've tried. We've tried everything. So, Lord, we just ask. And you say, everyone who asks receives. And everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be given. And, Lord, you say, if we ask for the Holy Spirit, you will give him to us. And I pray that each one of us right now would just be filled with your Holy Spirit. And we would walk in your power and in your victory and in your joy and in your peace. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.